about that for sure. That part didn't log into my mind, the actual time. Usually it's at 7, so I think it is 7. But we'll let you know that. Anyway, we've talked about the keeping our eyes, our minds on what the Lord says. We were looking at in the garden where God said, "Where are you?" And we know that God knew exactly where they were. At least my belief would be that they couldn't hide from God. But I believe that what God was asking was, "Where are you? Where are you? What are you thinking? What got you into the mess that you're in? Where are you?" And this is something that we need to always consider. If we will consider God in things, where am I? Where am I that I'm? Where am I that I'm ready to rejoice, or where am I that I'm not ready to rejoice? Because in Christ, I'm ready to rejoice no matter what. And if I don't have the joy of the Lord, then where am I? Because is there any reason that God's joy, is there any reason that God's presence diminishes just because of our circumstances? When there's a lot of noise and I want to hear the television, I turn it up. Well, sometimes there's a lot of noise. Yes, my wife is saying, "Oh, does he ever?" Well, okay. We're not going to go into that because I'm pastoring now, and I'm not going to get in an argument with you. So I'm going to give you mercy right there. And now we're going to go on with this because we could talk about how she always complains about how loud the regular programs are, and then the news comes on and they can hear it over at halls. But, "Oh, no, honey, no, no." She doesn't notice these things. But the children are sitting there going, "She's right." "No, they're not. Okay, lost my head." Okay, fine. Anyway, that makes no difference whatsoever. Okay? But, the enemy makes a lot of noise. He makes a lot of noise. He made noise in the garden. When Eve actually said what was right, and when she said what God said, and she was satisfied with what God said, until the enemy made a bunch of noise and said, "Oh, really? Have you ever considered that what God said is depriving you?" We sometimes, rather than just going with what God says, we get to thinking about our own feelings. We get to thinking about all of these other things, and pretty soon, because of that, the noise overrides the real message. And we got to make sure that we don't allow the noise to override that real message. And last week when we looked, we saw that we have been pruned and purified. That's what God says. You are pruned and purified by the Word. And we are being made perfect by the Word. But we were put in a position to be made perfect by being purified and pruned by the Word. The Word comes, arrests us, get our attention, and now we're in a position for His Word to grow in our hearts. And now Bernie's been reading this declaration and declaring this declaration. He really isn't reading it. It's a guide, but the Spirit comes up in him. And we should be seeking and sensing that Spirit that comes up in him and receiving that. And, I'll just suggest that when you receive something, be exuberant about it. Receive it with joy. I was thinking today as we were singing, and there's so many places where if I wasn't playing, I'd be up. I want to take off, but I can't teach this thing to just do it the way that I want it done. And when we're singing, I exalt thee, and I looked out and I thought, I remember when we were still in the auditorium. I remember sitting at the piano, still at the auditorium. I remember I'm playing. Finally, I got up and said, "How can you just sit there?" Now, I'm thinking, well, they're just all kind of slain in the Spirit, and they're in a stupor in God's presence, and they just can't get up. They're frozen to their seats. I've heard this before. I've heard of people who couldn't move, and so, I can entertain myself that way, but I'm not sure that that's exactly what's going on. And I'm not trying to tell you what to do or how to do anything. I'm just making suggestions. You know? Like Dorn and Linda, they have hunters come out. They make suggestions as to how they want those people to act when they hunt. They sort of give instructions. I understand that once this year they sort of gave instructions that a dog couldn't come. You know? And they expected the dog not to show up, and voila. You know, they sort of gave instructions. Now, I didn't have to follow. I'm giving hints here, okay? But I mean, if you think about it, I exalt you, Lord. Strangers come to my house and I get up to greet them. We can become so complacent over our relationship with God that we don't respond, even though something in us actually is kind of saying, I'm kind of feeling like getting up and shouting, but you can do that here. Just like I said, you can say, shut up, devil, here. Not when I'm preaching, please. I mean, if the devil's talking to you, yes, but, you know, if I'm speaking the devil, then I guess maybe I would need to, but I try not to do that, okay? But, you know, we've got that. We've got what the Word says. We've got the promises of God. And in this book that I'm reading and that I read the other night, that, you know, the guy says, okay, what makes more sense? To question yourself or to question God? If God says it, who are we to doubt it? If any man says he's in Christ, he ought to walk like him. John 15:27 says, and you will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. They had a bad moment after and during the crucifixion of Jesus, after his arrest. They were a little hesitant to bear witness because they were concerned about their hide. And sometimes it is. It's out of what our concern of what people might think or what people might say that we protect our hides by what we bear witness of. Somebody says, oh, things are just so bad, I just don't know what I'm going to do. And we think that it would be bad to say, let's praise the Lord, because we wouldn't want to offend them. We think we should, you know, say, well, man, I know that's really tough. That is not sound better in God's ears. We should be willing to encourage them. What has the Lord said? What will work better? What God has said or what we're thinking? What will work better? What God has said or our symptoms? What will work better? You know, we have a testimony that someone is doing real good, but they've got a tumor and it affects something. And our declaration is, praise God for the improvement and that it's going away. And we don't really even care if the tumor goes away. The symptoms got to go in the name of Jesus. Because how often have they said, it just doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be alive. You shouldn't be walking. Nothing should be working for you, and yet you are, and it's all to the glory of God. You shouldn't have joy. You shouldn't have strength. You shouldn't have confidence, but you do. Why? Because of God. The spiritual, the physical, the financial, all of that is we either have to make our confession match our profession. In other words, if we profess that we believe God, then we need to confess or speak or act just like we really do. Because what we profess and how we confess does have an effect on what we possess. If it doesn't, then the Word of God is not true, is it? And if we don't believe the Word of God is true, then we are not Christians. Right? If we don't believe that every word of God is true and that every word of God is good and that it's good for all the things that the word of God says, then we aren't really Christians. We're just professing. There's a lot of professors that speak a lot of things that aren't truth. In the world and in the church. I received a message from somebody that wanted to be my friend on Facebook. That's a fine and dandy thing, except I don't go to Facebook. But, okay, hey, I'll be somebody's friend. Then I'll figure out who they are and try to figure out who they are. And I remember I did that last week sometime, and then I just happened to have something to come up and said that Vicky said to me, she said, "You've got 3 unread messages in your Facebook. Well, why don't they email me?" You know, but I looked in this one person and said, "I have a question for you." A pastor recently told me that because I wasn't reading Bible stories to my 19-month-old child, when they die, they're going to go to hell. I wrote and I said, "I am so sorry that it took me 2 extra days to get to this. Because let me tell you, while it is certainly beneficial to read Bible stories to your child, and it's you need to raise up your child in the ways of the Lord. Whether you read Bible stories to them or not is not going to determine whether they go to hell or not. What will determine it is a relationship with Jesus Christ." Just as Bernie said, calling upon the name of the Lord. In spirit and in truth. Really desiring the Lord. But there's somebody that is not only that is professing to be a Christian, because pastors should be Christians, but his confession is absolute an abomination to God. That's just crazy. But how good is God that a person is made available to speak the truth in love? To encourage, yeah, we need the Lord. Now, if I didn't want to speak the truth, if I wasn't going to confess what I professed, I could have said, "Well, you know, it's really not for me to get into what another pastor says. I don't want to cause conflict, so you just figure this out yourself." No, that's not going to happen. The Word of God. What does the Word of God say? The profession, what we profess and what we confess, God thinks His Word is a big deal. And God is always right. And we don't want to make light of what God has said. I shared in the devotion years and years ago when somebody indicated to me that since I didn't speak in tongues, I really wasn't a Christian. And my response, my initial response was, "I'm a better Christian than you. I don't need that." But then things came about and I felt like I did need that. And so by my slowness, not God's, I spent a long time seeking and making sure and seeking and making sure and seeking and making sure until I was sick of seeking and making sure, and I decided I'm going to just step out on the water. And it was a glorious experience. It was just joy. It was bubbling over. It was like, from God's standpoint, it was like, "Boy, you made this a lot harder than it needed to be, but we're going to use that to teach other people." But from the other standpoint, it was like me going, "Thank you, Lord." I mean, I was excited. And then I went and told somebody else about it, and I said, it wasn't anything real big. It didn't really change my Christian walk all that much, because part of the reason for that was because I didn't want to offend someone with the gift that I had received. And so, the next time I went to pray, guess what? And in a very firm, very understandable tone in my heart, it could have been over this amplifier cranked up to the top from the inside out. God very, very sternly said, "Never make light of anything I give you again." Did I say, oh, but Lord, you don't understand? No. I said, yes, sir. I understand completely. We were back together again, and it will always be that way. But there are so many things that God has given us, and we make light of them. We take them for granted. We don't stand strong in them. I mean, every promise of God is true. There's not a situation or a circumstance in our life where there's not something that God has said that we can't grab a hold of and begin to rejoice in the Lord over it. Nothing. There is nothing that we honestly and sincerely and truthfully can say to the Lord, oh, but Lord, you don't understand about it. He understands it all. But there's two things that came to my mind in that. Here I was, I had dedicated a lot of time and effort that I didn't need to spend, but I felt that it was worthwhile to spend that much time and effort seeking the Lord for that gift. And then after I got it, rather than being excited about it, it's no big deal. Oh, wish Jake and Sarah were here because I had an illustration. I'll use them anyway. Okay? Imagine this. Imagine that, you know, they would say to one another, we have a happy marriage. We're so happy to have each other, all this and that. You know, Jake, he testified that he had been planning for this woman forever. She's the answer to his dreams. She's everything. I mean, and so that's how Sarah thinks Jake really feels. And now Sarah's standing here, or sitting here, and she hears Jake's voice. And Jake's talking to somebody else and saying, oh, Sarah's okay. You know, I mean, she's all right. It's okay. I married life's okay. It's not anything wonderful, but, you know, it's okay. Do you think the horse whisperer would keep whispering about that? Or do you think that she just may jump up and have a word with him? Now, she may boil there for a little while, maybe. She might quietly get outside. She might get into private. But if that went too far, she might have something to say in a hurry about how much he doesn't appreciate her. And then, of course, he would say, oh, honey, I just didn't want to make them feel bad because they were having a problem. Honey, you know how I feel. Oh, well, of course, Jake, okay, everything's wonderful. Or do you think she'd say, you better get your confession to line up with your profession, or you're going to get run over by one of my horses. Well, that seems like that's a whole different thing. No, it's not. If I say that I believe God to you, then my confession, and understand, your confession is not just your words. Your confession involves your actions as well. How you walk, how you talk, how you act, how you react makes a statement. And if you want to possess what the Lord has said you can possess, then your confession, your actions need to line up with what you profess. You can't be a Sunday Christian. It just doesn't work. Because life goes on Monday through Saturday. That's what there's a lot of people that are. They're Sunday Christians, and if they happen to be in a place where there's an altar call every week, they're getting saved again every week because all week long they got a lot of stuff they got to confess and they got to repent of all week long because their Christianity quit when they left the room. And the enemy says, "Well, God understands," and we say, "Yeah, God understands." And the enemy says, nobody's perfect. We say, yeah, hey, nobody's perfect. Who'd the pastor think he was today? Haven't changed my name. God hasn't changed. God said, if you say, and if you act according to as you say, then whatsoever you ask and say and act for will be given to you. When we pray for the multitudes, God said, ask of me and I'll give the nations. There's people getting saved all over this world because people pray for the multitudes. All over this world, people are being added to the kingdom of God. The most unlikely people are being added to the kingdom of God. People just like I was. People just like you were. That are coming to know God. Because of the truth. The light shines in the darkness. And people receive the light. Not everybody RSVPs. Not everybody answers the call. Some people think, well, my pastor said I can just do this. Or some people say, well, you know, they can pray me out of purgatory. Well, you know, it won't bother me if that's possible. But I'm not basing my eternity on that. I say this with all love and absolutely not knocking you at all, but I don't want to depend on you folks to pray me out, okay? Not that there's anything wrong with you, okay? You're wonderful. But there's a whole lot of people out there in the cemetery. The people drive by and don't even know who they are, okay? I'm just not prepared to depend upon you to get me into heaven. Pray for me now while I'm alive, great, but what I'm saying is I want what the Lord says. I want everything that the Lord says. If I'm sick, I want to be healed. If I'm well, I want to stay well. I'm not about to just hope, you know, that everything will be okay for Jordan when he goes traveling again. Okay? And I'm not about to fear about what's going to go on there because I'm not leaving any holes or avenues for the enemy to attack on. I'm going to confess, I'm going to profess that he'll be fine. I'm going to continue to confess that he'll be fine. And anybody that sees me that says, oh, you must be worried about Jordan, I'm going to say, absolutely not, and don't you either. And if you can't pray without having fear, do not pray for my son. Well, that's rude. No, that's just, I don't want somebody that's going to leave holes. I don't want somebody that's going to pray, well, we sure hope Jordan will be all right, but Lord, strengthen Vicky and Roger in case he comes home in a box. Oh, would I like to slap that person that prayed that way? I'll leave that to God. But do you understand? There are people that actually do that. Actually do that. Okay, so pick a side. Let your confess and let your actions line up with what you're professing. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not just a person who didn't go to church and now goes to church, but a person who was dead and now lives. We have been made alive in Christ. We possess marvelous, marvelous gifts in earthen vessels. We are full of treasure. Treasure that can be spread about the world. Treasure in the truth that can be prayed and that can change and that can transform other people's lives. Not by what we say, but by who we are. We need to, you know, sometimes people will have the idea, well, you know, if you get carried away, they'll think you're one of those. Well, who would you rather have think you're one of those? Jesus or other people? I think that when Jesus looks and says, you're one of those, it's a compliment. You're one of those that love me. You're one of those that trust me. You're one of those that is determined to live for me. You're one of those that is determined to receive everything that I have promised. You're one of those that is going to change the world. You're one of those. You're one of those who are going to be and fulfill what Jesus said. You will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Where are we? When we begin our life with Christ, we're with Him. Have we been with Him from the beginning? Have we, as the Bunyan book that we watched the video of, Pilgrim's Progress, or have we sat down on the bench of lethargy or relaxed along the way of false teaching? You know, have we compromised the Word of God and sat down thinking we're good enough, we're doing okay? Or have we continued along the path? Have we continued along the path? And if we haven't continued along the path, have we gotten back on the path? And if we're not on the path, are we searching hard for the path? Are we prepared to let our words and our deeds line up with our profession? I am proud to be a Christian. I am more proud of being a Christian than I am of anything else. Love my kids dearly, but that's not as important as being with God. Want my kids to know God in greater measure than I know God. There's nothing more important. Nothing more important than me and my Savior. And if nothing is more important than me and my Savior, then everything else will be added unto me. That is my confession, because that is what the Word says. What God says cannot be watered down, diluted, or polluted by the way things are at this particular time. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Why? Because of what the Lord has done. Not because of what I see, not what I'm experiencing, not what I'm feeling. No. It's just based on, this is what God says. What if Paul, what if he stood on that ship and said, I believe God. Cut loose those lifeboats and everybody's going to be fine. And then said, just wait a second. Got in one of the lifeboats and said, now cut it loose. What would have happened? They wouldn't have believed what he said. His actions wouldn't have lined up with his words. Oh, sure. Tells us to stay with the boat, but he's going to leave in the lifeboat. They'd have all jumped in the lifeboat. Everybody would have drowned. But no, that isn't what Paul did. Paul said, listen, God appeared to me. He said there won't be any loss of life. I believe God. Cut loose the lifeboats. We're going to be fine. And they were fine. And when the snake got on his wrist and they said, oh, he must have been really bad because now he's going to die. He could have said, oh, God, I got all these people safe and now I'm going to die. God, why would you fail me now? That's not what Paul did. He shook the snake off. They said, "Ooh, this guy's got something." Healed all their sick and led them all to the Lord. Why? Because he stuck with what he knew to be true. Do you believe that God is true to his word? Do you believe that God is true? Do you believe that he is perfect? Do you believe that he cannot fail? Will you set your life on that truth and begin to walk on that narrow path? Because you'll never be disappointed if you do. Because God will always be close and God will always be faithful and God will always be true to his word. He can't help it. That's just the way that he is. And so he sends out an invitation and he gives us salvation and then he continues to add notes of what to look forward to. Some people really look forward to the fortune cookies in the Chinese restaurant. Some people really think that they are the fortune. Some people read horoscopes. I mean, like it's that is the answer to their life. I mean, it's just, and they'll blog about how wonderful that is. And yet they'll think that somebody that trusts God without any reservation is a little over the edge. Hello? Is there something wrong with that picture? Well, the reason something is wrong with that picture is because the enemy is standing there whispering and say, there's better ways than God's way. God's just a figment of imagination for weak people. Glory to God. I'll gladly brag of my weaknesses, Paul said, because in my weakness I'm perfected, I'm made strong. In and of myself, in and of ourselves. If we don't see ourselves as weak and helpless without God, then we can do it all ourselves. And if we think we can do it all ourselves, then we will receive what we can get all ourselves. Until such a time as we say, there's got to be something better. There's more to life than this. I remember Jesus. Somebody once said something about Jesus. I'll just call upon the name of Jesus. And I'll keep calling upon the name of Jesus. And I'll keep seeking Him while He may be found. And I'll keep calling upon Him while He is near. And He will keep drawing near to me as I draw near to Him. And He will abundantly bless me because that's what He's promised. I don't care if people don't like that or not. That's what He's promised. Which one of His promises is He not going to keep? Some people think, well, He doesn't always keep His healing promise. Why? Well, I know people have died. Yeah, it's appointed that a man wants to die. But does that mean he doesn't heal? Fact of the matter is that if you cut yourself, you need to heal. If you don't heal, people die because they don't heal. If a brain surgeon, if a neurosurgeon does the most wonderful surgery in the world and does it absolutely perfectly and they close it back up and they say the surgery went well, guess what? You still need to be healed. I am the Lord that healeth thee. He sent His word and healed our diseases. What will be the words of our mouth? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart. In other words, don't let me just confess it, but Lord, let me hold fast my heart. Even my thoughts. Bring every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Christ. Grabbing a hold of those things that exalt themselves an inch of knowledge of God. Bouncing them off the wall and rejoicing in the Lord. When I substitute, I tell these kids, there's one thing you don't want to offer me, and that's attitude. I do not like attitude unless it's a good one. And I don't call a good attitude, attitude. I just call it good. And I've never had a kid yet when I said, do you know what I mean? Who didn't know what I meant. Because the meditations of their heart were not right. And they knew it. I don't like it when they roll their eyes at me or look away from me. That just isn't going to fly. I want their heart to be in it. And that's what God wants from us. He wants our heart to be in it. He wants to be in this to enjoy the pleasures of the whole family. The things that He has planned. There's not going to be at the wedding on Friday. There's not going to be a table where the people that they really don't like all that well get bologna. And, you know, and somebody else is going to get something a little better. And then there's going to be my table with steak and lobster. That's not the way that it's going to be, you know. Everybody's going to get the same thing. Well, maybe not. I don't know. They haven't run the menu past me. But what I'm saying is, God doesn't have a bologna table and a steak and lobster table. And I realize not everybody likes steak and lobster, okay? And it's not like I eat it all the time, but I do enjoy it when I run across it. In case any of you want to take me to dinner. No. But with God, He sets a table before us in the presence of the enemy. It's the same table for everybody. That's not His fault if we choose not to take what's at His table for us. It's not His fault if we don't choose healing and health. It's not His fault if we don't choose peace. It's not His fault if we don't choose prosperity. It's not His fault if we don't choose strength. It's not His fault if we don't choose those things that He gives to us for life. It's not His fault. But it's still on the table. So it's up to us. If we've been not taking from the table that God has set, it's up to us to go back. You ever been to a buffet and somebody came back with something on their plate that you didn't see at the buffet? Where did you find those? Have you ever had to just take somebody to show them where it was because they still couldn't find them? I have. Come on, I'll show you. There's things that we are learning. But if we will just be confident that God has them for us and we keep going to God, God will keep taking us back until we know where everything is and the perfect way to handle it. So, professing Christianity is a good start. Professing faith in Christ and love for God. That's really important because that kind of gets things going. That starts the engine. But then we continue with that until we have it in gear and we have it going. And as we're going and as we're growing, pretty soon we get all enthusiastic and stomp that baby down. 100 miles an hour toward Jesus. When my nephew was here with his little girls and I gave him a ride on the motorcycle, and then I was gonna let him drive the scooter, and they've got a little electric scooter at home. Well, those little electric scooters, you just go up, open them up, and you're not going very fast. And I got on behind the first little girl, and fortunately, I didn't have her on the big scooter. I had it on the smaller scooter, but she just boom, and I'm going ho. Praise the Lord! You know, whoa, 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 whoa! I grabbed the throttle and said, whoa, 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 wait a minute. This isn't your electric scooter, you know? You need to get used to it. Once you get used to it, you know, it'll be okay. And I took my life in my own hands and we rode a little ways and we made it okay and got back. And then she wanted to take her dad for a ride. He was even a little less thrilled than I was because he hasn't even ridden a motorcycle, you know? So he's going, whoa, you know, And Mom, she just walked in the house. I'm not going to look. But we've got to grow in this, but we've got to get on in order to grow in it. And the Lord is with us. The Holy Spirit is there for us to lead us into all truth. When the Spirit comes, He'll lead us into all truth, it says in John 15:26. Before, Jesus said, and you'll bear witness of me because you've been with me. So that we can say, you know, Lord, I've been with you. I can make this work. I want it to work. It is the way because you're the way, and this is the truth because you're the truth, and this is the life because you're the life. There's nobody in this whole wide world that has life without Christ Jesus. They may live, obviously. They may think things aren't too bad, but compared to life with Christ Jesus, they have not lived. And I have not met a person anywhere who has ever come to know life with Christ that would disagree with that. I've never known one person that said, my life was really better before I met Jesus. It just can't be. It just can't be. And we know, even though we have professed Christ, and even though we know Him, and even though we've walked with Him, even though we've experienced His goodness, and even though that, we know what it's like when we're not with Him. We know what it's like when we're not walking in close fellowship with Him. We know what it's like because it just don't feel as good. And we may be able to think, well, you know, it's this, or well, you know, it's that. And we may try to pacify ourselves into thinking, well, no, I haven't gotten away from God. It's just, you know, times are just tough and that and there. But the truth is, we know where that sweet spot is. We know it. And as soon as we step back into it, we can, without any reservation, say, ah, this is better. This is better. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew this was where I needed to get. I knew it. But God says, let's not worry about what you knew. Let's worry now about what you know again. Let's keep going. So, all the time we have the question from God, where are you? Where are you? And He doesn't say, where are you, in any sort of condemnation whatsoever. He just says, where are you? Figure out where you are. I mean, anybody that's gone anywhere that has never been lost, never ever in your life been somewhere where you wondered where you were? Most everybody's had that experience. And most of us have recognized that when we didn't know where we were, it was a lot better once we found out. I always laugh. First time Vicki and I, we were with her parents looking for a place in California. Her dad did not like to ask anybody for directions. Me, on the other hand, I had painted enough grain elevators that I had been a lot of places where they said there was a name and there wasn't a place. And I had to ask somebody, how do I get to this place? He was not going to ask anybody. He was going to find it. And I finally went and asked somebody. He may have never forgiven me for that. But we did find where we were going then. Because I said, this is crazy. Why should we spend 2 hours looking for something we can find in 5 minutes? All we got to do is ask somebody. When we discover that we don't know where we are, we want to find out. You ever wake up out of a real deep sleep and can't figure out where you are? When I woke up out of a deep sleep and our car was going like this and Vicki was going, honey! And the only thought in my mind is she said she could drive over the pass. And there's a guardrail and I'm going, oh, I didn't pray, I'm sure. I said lots of other things. But, you know, but fortunately we just ended up in a ditch. But I mean, I didn't know where we were. And I was really glad to find out where we were. Safe and not over the edge of a mountain somewhere. There's nothing wrong with finding out where we are. In fact, it's the best thing that we can do. Now, sometimes people find out, whoa, I'm lost, I can be saved. They find out and come to the Lord. But then they need to keep coming and keep enjoying and keep appreciating and keep receiving from God and keep seeking God and keep being built up in truth. And just keep it going. Keep the train on the track and keep it going. And sometimes we've been on the track and we don't even know it, but for some reason we've pulled over into the station and no more coal in the coal car and engine's not running, but it's not so bad. And then somebody comes along and we say, wait a minute, that train's going fast. How'd they do that? Well, they got coal in the car, they're shoveling it in and the train's still going. We say, oh, I want some of that. Here comes a truck, dumps the coal in, we're ready to go. Now, there are some people who sit in that spot and somebody zooms right on by. Oh, that's fine. We're good here. And it's not until some earthquake takes place or something, they think, man, if I wouldn't have been sitting here, I would have been better off. But even then, if we call upon the name of the Lord, God takes care of us. But I guess that it's best to do it the easy way. And that's the Lord's way. He said, take my yoke upon you. My yoke's easy. My burden is light. The enemy says, oh, it's going to be such a burden. Tell him to shut up. Jesus said, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. What don't you understand about that? His yoke is easy and his burden is light. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Are you weak and heavy laden, cumbered with a load of care? Should never be discouraged. Just take it to the Lord in prayer. It's a good song. It's true. And we know it's true. We know it, we know it, we know it, we know it. We know it is, and yet sometimes what we confess does not line up with what we profess. And we recognize that we are not possessing what the Lord has promised. And that's not the place to go, well, I guess you just never know about God. That's a place to go, wait a minute, I know about God, it's me! You will bear witness. What will you bear witness of? Lord, in Jesus' name, it is our deepest heartfelt desire to bear witness of you. Bear witness that your promises are true. To be blessed beyond measure and to be blessings. To freely give as we freely receive. To be in health and prosper even as our souls prosper. To walk in the power and the authority of your name, to lay hands on the sick and have them recover, to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues, to bring glory and honor and praise to you. Your word says that those in darkness have seen a great light. Hallelujah. May darkness be unable to exist with your light in our lives. So that we, like Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, wherever we set our foot, might become your land. We ask this and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.